Hello there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from the Moscone Center here in San Francisco, California. It's the 2016 edition of Build, and I am privileged to welcome a new colleague of mine and a wonderful colleague as well. We have Miguel de Icaza and Amanda Silver. How are you doing?
Great, thank you. Enjoying the announcements today?
Yeah, they were pretty fantastic overall. So what I want you to do is I want you to get ready out there if you're watching. Get your questions primed. There's got to be tons of questions about the Xamarin announcements that we had today. Let's start with Amanda. Tell us about all the goodness that was spread all over the place with Xamarin.
Well, I mean, I think the big news is that Xamarin is now included as a part of Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. So if you already have a Visual Studio license or you're using Visual Studio Community, you can now use Xamarin and build for iOS and Android using Xamarin as part of Visual Studio.
That's awesome. Now, are there any restrictions like on the Community Edition? Because I know before when you had your product, there was a Community Edition, but it only sort of extended to a certain number of code, or maybe I didn't understand that.
We had so many restrictions on that product. We struggled a lot. We struggled to make something for people to try it out, and we tweaked it over the years, but it was very difficult.
Right.
For a startup, it was difficult. But no, there are no restrictions in what you can do now. None of those restrictions that we had are there, so you can do it all. And the community license says you can.
Yeah.
It's very generous. You can companies do up to like
five.
Yes.
Yeah. So
let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So so basically, with Visual Studio, we have a kind of dual license model where we have the Visual Studio Community, and then we also have Visual Studio Pro. For Pro, that's basically used for developers who are in, you know, large professional teams building professional apps. But Community is really targeted at developers who are building open source applications or are teams of less than five or are students. So now, because we have Xamarin included as part of Community, that means that Xamarin is now available to all of those people.
That's awesome.
I mean,
someone was asking me, hey, Seth, we didn't give out any devices this year. And I'm like, everybody got Xamarin. And they're like, oh, that's actually much better.
Because it was expensive. I mean, it was expensive. It was an expensive,
yeah.
It was an expensive product.
But I will tell you, I wanted to get into sort of the history of Xamarin. Everyone knows what Xamarin is, but maybe they don't know sort of the history. And I always start with this anecdote. About 10, 15 years ago, I was a developer, and I went to a conference in Vegas, and I asked the guy that was in charge of Visual Studio at the time, I don't remember who it was, I said, so tell me about this Mono project and what you guys are doing to sort of help integrate that. And he's like, well, we don't have anything to do with that right now.
Yeah.
And now 10, 15 years later, tell us about the history of going from Mono all the way to Xamarin. Memory trip. I love this.
It's 15 years.
I'll make it super short.
No, I want to hear the whole thing.
Why don't we drill down on the fun parts?
Let's do it.
There's a genesis where we had the beginning of a C# compiler of class libraries, runtimes. It was very slow, very buggy, every negative thing that you could do. It took us a long year to develop it, and it started to get very mature around the time that we started doing server support at Novell and Moonlight, which actually
It
was a collaboration with Microsoft to bring Moonlight to Linux. And then roughly around this time, the iPhone came out. And we helped Unity get, we modified Mono so Unity could use. At this time, Unity was a gaming tool mostly for desktop.
Sure.
And they were the guys that had the original idea of, let's put our tool on iOS, but we're going to need Mono ported, and we're going to need a static compiler. So we patched Mono very quickly to put it on iOS, and we give it to them. And then we said, well, they can build games, but maybe we should go and integrate this with the native platform. So we started a project to do that in 2009, I believe, and we launched that year. So that was the beginning. We built essentially Mono for iOS, and then we did Mono for Android. And then we launched the company in 2011 through a very complicated set of historical artifacts, historical artifacts. And we launched the company in 2011, and we've been building the product ever since. And it went again from lots of bugs, lots of issues, to what I think is a fantastic product.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, he's like being all modest, right? I mean, it's a fantastic product.
We had our bugs. We had our bugs over the years, and it's a continuous process of polishing and improving, reducing memory usage, extending the API, all these things.
So tell us a little bit, Amanda, why it sort of made a lot of sense to bring Xamarin into the fold from your perspective.
Well, I mean, you know, we really, a couple of years ago, obviously there was a big strategic shift that started to happen at Microsoft.
Sure.
Rather than building tools that only targeted Windows, we now had the freedom to build tools that could also target other platforms as well, such as iOS and Android, as well as Linux that we've kind of announced more recently. And so with that, we also started an effort to kind of build mobile tools so that developers could build mobile applications. And there were a couple of things that we started to do. One was the tools for Apache Cordova,
right.
Which you can basically build mobile apps using JavaScript and HTML or TypeScript if that's what you choose to do. We also started working on cross-platform C++ capabilities so that you can actually build native code using C++ and Visual Studio targeting iOS and Android. But the other thing, obviously, is, you know, C#. What's the C# story? And, you know, we've had a long kind of, you know, good partnership with Miguel and folks, and it just made sense, basically, for us to kind of continue to partner with them. And so for the last couple of years, we've partnered with them as Xamarin has grown. And then finally, it just made sense to kind of, you know, bring them in-house, and we're really excited to have them.
That's awesome. I mean, of all the people in the world that love C#, you've got to be out there in the front. You brought C# to Linux, and then you brought C# to iOS and Android.
Yes, yes.
Why do you like C# so much? Tell us about this.
Because I wrote too much C code. and at some point, we wrote too much C# code, and also in the Linux day, the background was we wanted Linux on the desktop to be a big success.
Right.
Anyways, that thing didn't pan out. But in the process in 2000, you really wanted, the machines were not as powerful as today.
Mm-hmm.
So things like Python or Perl or these languages were really not suitable because they consumed too much memory and they were very slow at the time. And C# had this, it was an interesting language because it was compiled, it was very fast, and it was a very high-level language. And what you wanted to do is get out of the business of being an accountant, doing memory management on your own, crashes and all these things. So it was a safe language, but it was also very fast. So this is the genesis, really. Increased productivity in machines in the year 2000. And it just happens that mobile devices today also happen to be, you know, while there's still the iPhone 6S high-end, the world is still predominantly running on smaller end devices, so it's a beautiful match from that perspective. So I still like C#. I think it's a great language. My heart has gradually shifted over the years because I wrote a C# compiler, so I obviously there's
sure.
there's an emotional involvement, but my heart is shifting towards F# with Dunsany's thing. So anyways.
And F# is a beautiful language, too. I mean, they both serve their things. I like F# too. In fact, the first F# I ever wrote was in 2008. And then Don Syme commented on a blog post of mine and says, hey, you should probably fix this line to this. And I'm like, okay, this community F# is great.
Yeah.
So.
But the nice thing, I mean, to me, the nice thing about Visual Studio is that you're in a position where, I mean, Visual Studio really is a great gift for developers because like Amanda was saying, I mean, they just launched support. I guess we just launched support for targeting Linux from Visual Studio. So really, you can do all your development from Visual Studio for Android, iOS, mobile, in whatever flavor you want of mobile, right? That there's no one size fits all for Windows. It really is one stop shopping for all of your developer needs.
And we saw that yesterday. You literally were running OpenGL from Visual Studio into Linux. And I was like, I wish I would have had this a couple years ago. All right, so the questions are coming in. Let's answer them from Milan. Mm-hmm. How do I get Xamarin? Does it come with update 2?
Yeah. So it's a little bit complicated, but not that hard. If you installed it before yesterday, basically, Xamarin has been included in the Visual Studio setup since 2015 launched. But if you installed it before yesterday, you would install a version of Xamarin that still had the license check.
Right.
That would go back to Xamarin's kind of, you know, back-end servers and validate that you had the license. If you install as of today, if you install the Xamarin components, then it actually just looks at the Visual Studio SKU that it's installed onto, and it basically unlocks Xamarin for you.
Man, I'm gonna go home and uninstall and reinstall tonight.
Or you
don't
update.
Even need. Yeah, yeah you don't you even need to uninstall. Yep. You just update.
Oh my goodness! So, you can go get it right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Can you use regular XAML for Xamarin Forms? Is Xamarin Forms something that's included?
The short version is no. The longer answer is a little bit more pedantic. XAML can be used for many things.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be. Or verbs, or I don't know what you call them, verbs, you know, or vocabulary is for a different API. And we do want to converge in terms of the features that XAML has on things like UWP, but they're not necessarily the same particular scenario of uses.
So it is XAML. Xamarin Forms is included with this. And it is Xamarin Forms does use XAML, but it's a subset of the XAML that you would see in UWP.
Well, it's a different set of verbs. Is it called verbs? Is it called the language? Is it called
I mean, it's basically just a different API, the different control set that you're programming to for Xamarin Forms, because it has to kind of, you know, be optimized for iOS and Android as well.
But it is like XAML that you would see, and it would feel
from
the same.
A language perspective, it is the same basic kind of, you know, language.
Awesome. All right, next question. Do you plan on having a cheap tier of XAML cloud tests for indie devs?
I know that I've seen the documents, and I don't know what we're doing. I apologize. I can't answer that question.
I can probably answer that. So, you know, we do, one of the things that we kind of announced today as part of this was we actually have a discount for Xamarin Cloud Test, or Xamarin Test Cloud, more accurately, for MSDN subscribers. So we have kind of reduced the price on that. But we're also kind of, you know, we're really excited to bring Xamarin Test Cloud into our DevOps services overall. It's just like, it solves so many different pain points for mobile developers. It's unbelievable. And I think we're just gonna kind of evolve that over time and kind of figure out you know, exactly how we wanna make it available so that everybody can use it.
And I was there at Evolve, was it last year where you sort of unveiled this test cloud? It was a beautiful way to test your application on all the devices almost and actually see pictures of what it looks like without having to have, because you have, I think that you mentioned that most devs have this drawer full of like broken dreams phones.
I do. I don't know about everybody, but yeah, I have a stash of things. And it's actually very nice because every time we try, you know, you try optimizations or you try, like the other day we're looking into how to you know, look at revocation certificates. And you know, nobody cares about this, but we need to look up revocation certificates, but we didn't know if the revocation certificates were in the same place on all Android devices. So we build a test, we're running on God knows how many thousand machines. It's like, yeah, it's there. We know that we can do this. So, I mean, it's very convenient because now you don't ship to production something. It's like, well, it doesn't work on China. And, and like, well, I don't know what happened, right? So we know well in advance that the software is going to run. So we use it internally for testing our own changes.
But we've also talked to tons of mobile developers, and you know, there's one story that really stands out to me. One guy, there are two stories. One is one guy, you know, valued his mobile tester so much that he actually locked her in the back closet and didn't tell people that she was on the team because she was such a valuable asset to him, being able to test against all of those different Android devices. The other was we talked to one customer, and he said that they actually had like 20 different mobile devices literally glued to a piece of plywood. And when they needed to do testing, they would bring in the cart with all of the devices,
Then
you'd spend the next, you know, 3 to 6 weeks basically validating your app against all of those devices. I mean, now we can actually say, okay, that's actually hosted in the cloud, it's a service. All of those devices you don't need to pay for on an ongoing basis, you know, we basically pay for that.
I will say that when I was at Evolve that year, I think it was in Florida, I looked at that and I thought, this must be a heaven send for any mobile developer. Like you literally can have, you can now just have your phone and then you can have a cloud to do all these tests in.
Yeah, I agree.
I like it a lot. All right, so next question. Are there plans to extend Xamarin Forms to Windows Universal apps or vice versa? Is there gonna be a convergence in sort of the UWP XAML and the XAML that Xamarin builds?
Well, there's one thing that is I think we already shipped it or it's in the alpha channel or something like that, but you can use the Xamarin Forms API. And again, it's a subset of things that you can do
right.
For UI. but you can already use that to target UWP. Today there was a question of like, there's a bug when I do this, and there's like, it's a bug, we're fixing it. So you can definitely do that. And we'll definitely continue to improve the XAML support so you can do more things. I know that there's some bindings that people wanted, we just added, and I know that there's new idioms in XAML that they want supported, so we'll definitely do that. As for UWP, it's a longer discussion that we will have.
Absolutely. I mean, it feels like we just sort of merged. There's tons of sort of technical things that are out there, but I like the idea of being able to just say, hey, I can use Xamarin right now if I install the update. All right, so the next question from Twitter, how can Xamarin University be leveraged by MSDN subscribers? Is that something that, because you have a lot of videos and stuff that you can learn stuff, is that something that's coming along with Xamarin?
Yeah. So one of the really exciting things that happened today that we didn't really talk about in the keynote very much, but it is certainly exciting. Xamarin University, so when people start to do mobile development, it's a big shift for them.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of people who are doing web and desktop development today, and they want to be able to take those skills and start to do mobile development. And that's where really Xamarin University comes in handy. Xamarin has developed this fantastic program and curriculum to basically facilitate that. And one of the things that we were able to do as part of the announcements today is to take a bunch of that content and make it more broadly available. And so now it's actually available both for MSDN subscribers as well as anybody who's a member of our free Dev Essentials program.
That's amazing.
So essentially get MSDN if you don't have it. But there is that, but also we're going to be extending the classes to other things that we're doing with Microsoft. I keep talking about Microsoft as a separate entity, but to more products and other programming systems at Microsoft.
That's
going to grow in scope.
That's amazing. So if you're like, oh man, I now have Xamarin because I'm an MSDN subscriber, you can actually have access to the training that comes, which is for sure top notch, and now you can sort of start doing this today.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right, next question. What will happen with GTK Sharp 3 and Mono develop now? Anything? Are we doing anything with that?
This is an obscure question, but we've never moved from GTK Sharp 2 to GTK Sharp 3 because they made too many semantic changes. And rewriting a code base to deal with the semantics has always been difficult. What we've been doing instead is we've been going more and more native on each platform. So we'll look and see. Right now, I don't have plans of moving. It's just a big investment, and we don't get a lot out of it.
Got it. Next question. What is the future of Xamarin Studio? Because Xamarin Studio is the one that works on Windows and the Mac. What do you guys have to say about that?
There's great plans. We'll continue improving it. We'll continue polishing it. We'll add support for things that Microsoft developers expect on the Mac now to have available, and we'll have more to share in the future.
I love it. So it's not something that's going away.
And not at all. And in fact, I would say that Xamarin Studio, I would add that Xamarin Studio is also now available under the community license. Mm-hmm. So whereas you used to have to pay at the lowest end for the indie license for Xamarin, you actually now can get it for free if you qualify.
That's beautiful. All right, next question. In a world where Microsoft owns Xamarin, does it make sense to have Taco tools? I mean, I think it's all about choice, right? Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so from my perspective, I've talked to hundreds of mobile development teams over the last couple of years, and there certainly is a difference in terms of, you know, which developers choose to develop against Xamarin and which ones choose to develop for JavaScript and HTML. And the kind of main choices obviously center around kind of what their background is, what their development team's background is, if they're a .NET shop or if they're, you know, they have experience with web front-end development. But the other reasons that people might choose to develop with Cordova are because they really want to pick something that, you know, is based on web standards and is, you know, obviously not proprietary and things like that. Obviously, now that the core Xamarin platform is open source, that might change some people's perspective on that. But that is kind of one of the reasons that we've seen people choose Cordova.
That's awesome.
But there's also no one size fits all.
Yeah.
So some people want to use that thing. And just to be clear, we also have on in the works and integration components, and you can blend the two if you want. So, of course, the taco pieces would be necessary in that scenario.
Yep.
I see. So it's all about choice. You can do whatever you like.
Well, I mean, I think we've had at least a 3+ language strategy for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And so the Xamarin announcement just brings a lot of great new tools into the .NET scenario. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But we will continue to have that same strategy.
Awesome. Next question. So we'll start. How has Xamarin built apps compare performance-wise with actual native apps? Xamarin versus native. This is probably a question you get all of the time.
I get that a lot of the time. It's a very complicated question because it really depends what you're measuring, what the benchmark is. In general, the simple way of getting out of this is saying if you toggle LVM and provided you're not using arrays, the performance is pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. Once you use arrays, things go a little bit down if you do a lot of math computation with arrays because .NET has a safe model and it introduces overhead, like you can't index things out of the array. So there's things that .NET prevents you from shooting yourself in the foot, and once you start using those things and comparing those two things, the performance characteristics will be different, unless you use unsafe code and then you're cheating.
Sure.
So it's always a different, I mean, it's something that I would love to chat on a blog or discuss these things, but it's so performance is complicated in general because it depends what you're measuring.
Sure.
In general, I would say it's about the same performance, but you can always find outliers, both with GC versus reference counting, and you can construct scenarios when one is better than the other, and the other way around. Some people don't know that, but you can do it. Right? Okay.
But it's not JIT compiled. I mean, it's not, right. It is natively compiled before it actually gets deployed to your device.
Awesome. Next question. What is the future of Xamarin Insights?
Yeah. So one of the things that we announced today is actually that the Xamarin Insights team and the Hockey App team are going to be working very closely together so that we have a really fantastic story for beta testing, getting insights on crash analytics, usage analytics, things like that in a unified way. And the awesome thing about Hockey App is it supports not only .NET-based applications, but also Objective-C applications, Java-based applications, Cordova-based applications. And now, with the Xamarin Insights team coming in, we'll have even better support for .NET apps.
That's awesome. Now, I saw on stage you demoed running an iOS emulator mm-hmm. in Windows. That was a limitation previously. What is going on? Can you explain what is going on there?
We developed a way of remoting the iOS simulator from the Mac to Windows, and we had a sneak preview today of the technology. We'll have more to share at Evolve at the end of April. And the idea is that the iOS simulator will just be available to anybody doing iOS development from Windows, mm-hmm. so C# or Cordova or React Native, so all of these things, or even C++, you'll have the simulator running on Windows as well.
And so, in essence, is it like you're running the simulator on a Mac and then it's just windowing it back?
Yes, and we'll send events. I mean, it's very simple stuff. I mean.
I like
simple.
It. Yeah. He says it's simple.
I didn't have to write it.
There's multiple computers
so it looks
involved.
Simple.
It looks simple.
I get to discuss whether the icon is aligned properly.
Right.
That's my contribution.
Nice. All right, any plans to have one true UWP that will write once, deploy truly everywhere? From Christos on Twitter. Like a single UWP that just goes everywhere? I mean, it's a tough question.
Yeah, it is a tough question. I mean, one of the things that I think is actually really important about the way that we think about Xamarin is that it allows you to share code mm-hmm. across each of the native apps that you're building for Android, iOS, and Windows. So when you build that shared code, a lot of your application logic, including the business logic behind your app, all of the view models, and the service models, things like that, all of that can be defined in the common C# code base. Mm-hmm. But then it's really only the presentation tier that ends up being different per platform.
Got it.
So for Windows, you basically continue to write using native XAML. Mm-hmm. And for Android, it's AXML, and for mm-hmm. iOS, it's XIB. Okay. So that's kind of our perspective on it, is it really helps you, share code across the three different application platforms.
I love it. Now we're running out of time, 2 minutes, quick fire. Will Xamarin Sketches or Workbooks be available in Visual Studio?
Yes, we demoed on the keynote. It was on Visual Studio. It was not on the Mac. That was Visual Studio.
Next, was the Xamarin compiler written in C#?
Our Xamarin compiler is written in C sharp, but we're switching to Roslyn.
Nice. I love it. So it's all one thing. And then the last one, will you stop investment in Mono?
No. I know that they want to, but we will converge. There's a lot of convergence happening in the class libraries, the GC, the code generator, but there's different properties and profiles of each of those. So we'll get the best out of each other. I mean, the less code I have to maintain, the better.
Yeah,
so there's convergence, but I can't flip a switch right away. So there's we'll share as much code as possible moving forward.
I love it. So we have about 90 seconds, maybe 80 seconds. Let's finish up with maybe a call to action, maybe some cool stuff that we didn't talk about this whole Xamarin coming into Microsoft. We'll start with you, and then we'll end with Amanda Silver. What do you think of this whole thing?
Well, I'm very excited. I have to say, when Scott was on stage, I left my thing, and then Scott did the announcement. I had not seen what he was going to say because I've been busy with the rehearsal, but it was amazing. I was so excited. I was like, oh, this is beautiful, Scott. This is beautiful.
I mean, people and were clapping.
I knew what he was going to announce. I knew what he was going to announce, but I was like, oh, this is beautiful. So, it was very nice.
When he said that, it literally, like, even Scott was like, oh, but there's more, you know? It was, and I was pretty excited. I was here by myself, by the way, saying, did everyone hear this? Is everyone, and they're like, they don't care over there, right? So, all right, Amanda.
It's a huge day. I mean, it's an amazing day to be a developer on the Microsoft platform.
Yep.
And I think bringing Xamarin into Visual Studio and kind of having it be a part of our developer tools, it really just, it's part of any developer being able to build any app.
I love it. And Xamarin Evolve is still on.
Yeah. I have to say, we're very excited to be joining this team. I mean, we've respected the work of the .NET and Visual Studio teams for years. It's an inspiration. So it's great to be here.
We're very excited to have them on board, too.
Nice. I feel like we need a hug. This is great. Thanks so much for being with us again, Xamarin. Miguel de Casa and Amanda Silver, thanks so much. And we'll see you on the flip side. Take care.